Your Show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie. I'm Debbie Giorgiani, and I'm so happy you are tuned in to Take Two because today is our first Friday show. Also, it's the Holy Day of Obligation, All Saints Day. Happy All Saints Day to everyone. Oh, on this great feast, it's a wonderful time to have a live broadcast so you can call in and share all the love that you have for the saints and their love and your love for the Eucharist, because it's our Real Presence show. So we're talking about how the saints loved the Eucharist and how they made a very deep comments about the Eucharist, like Blessed Carlo Acutis. Okay, Blessed Carlo used to say, "The Eucharist is my highway to heaven." That's what Blessed Carlo Acutis used to say. And I love that so much so that he put together a Eucharistic miracles exhibit that went around the world. Okay, at this young age, he started it when he was like 10 or 11, and he finished it before he passed away. He died at age 15. Blessed Carlo will be fully canonized next year, sometime in the Jubilee year, so we're excited for that. He's actually one of our powerhouse saints here on the Take Two show team. So we love Blessed Carlo Acutis, and yes, we agree that the Eucharist is our highway to heaven. Other saints like Saint Thomas Aquinas, John Paul II, many other saints. I mean, they made comments. Mother Teresa, a ton of comments on the Eucharist. They would talk about the Eucharist. The Eucharist is our source and summit of our Christian life. So please, today is our Real Presence show. We're focusing on how the saints viewed the Eucharist and what they said about the Eucharist. If there's a certain quote from a saint that really has stayed with you all these years about the Eucharist, now is the time to share it here. This is your show, Take Two with Jerry and Debbie and you. And we may have Jerry Usher at the end of today's show doing a seminary check-in, because I was mentioning the other day how he's doing in his classes, and he should probably represent himself. I shouldn't say, you know, what a brilliant student he is and stuff like that. He should do that himself. Okay, so the number to dial is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. This is our Real Presence show, all about the Eucharist on this wonderful feast day of All Saints, where we are talking about how the saints viewed and what they said about the Eucharist. So I want to hear from you. So Take Two family, maybe you're not Catholic and you want to call in and say, what's all this talk about the Eucharist? And you're talking about all these saints today. What does that mean? We'll happily share with you, but please fill up those phone lines. Don't get started with your All Saints celebration or your weekend yet. I need to hear from you. Every single phone line should be filled up. We're talking about the Eucharist, folks. Okay, when we talk about the Eucharist being the source and summit of our faith, we should definitely blow up those phone lines talking about it to the world. So let's go. Everybody stop what you're doing. Okay, pull over safely to the side of the road. Take us off of the hands-free device, and you could, that's why you can pull over safely to the side of the road. I know some of you do the hands-free Bluetooth device while you're driving and you're calling in. That's a little bit, I think that could be dangerous. And plus, the signal's not that great, or I should say it's not that clear. And so what you want to do is pull over safely to the side of the road, make your call, 833-288-EWTN, 833-288-3986. We've got Matt Kabinsky on the phones. We've got Charles Beery at the controls. We've got Michael McCall on social media. I'm waving to everybody there. Get your chats going. You always have great comments on the YouTube chats. And if you like what you hear on this particular broadcast about the Eucharist and the saints, please share it far and wide. We believe that's a good use of social media. If you're friends with me on Facebook, Debbie Giorgiani, you know that I share the episodes there. Also, please like us on Jerry and Debbie Facebook page, because we'll be posting some articles about the saints and about the Eucharist there. Charles does a great job at keeping the conversation going. I just wanted to mention to our listeners, because so many of you from Take Two, you also listen to The Spirit World with Adam Bly. We are the co-hosts of The Spirit World. Tomorrow's show is part two about saints in heaven on All Souls Day. So we're going to be talking about that tomorrow. We are going to be taking your calls on The Spirit World. So if you want, I just feel like we don't envision heaven enough. And so we started talking about heaven last week, and we had so much feedback. Oh my goodness. I mean, you guys everywhere from around the world, and it was heavily downloaded on Spotify and Apple, and that was fantastic. So thank you. And so we're going to do a part two because we don't think we envision heaven enough. But that's tomorrow at 10 a.m. Central, 11 a.m. Eastern. Today we're talking about the real presence, the most holy Eucharist, the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ in the Eucharist. It's the source and summit of our faith. Read about it this weekend. Maybe sit down with your family and talk pull out the catechism or go online and just type in CCC, Catechism of the Catholic Church, on the Eucharist and read all about it, because it would be so important for you to understand it better, especially when you share it with your family and communicate what we believe to your friends. Okay, but right now I want to hear from you. If you have a particular quote that a saint said about the Eucharist, share it. I just shared Blessed Carlo Acutis saying that the Eucharist is his highway to heaven. He said other things about the Eucharist as well. That's why he was so passionate and committed to developing the Eucharistic miracle exhibit at such a young age. But maybe you have another saint you want to highlight today. It's All Saints Day, and it's a holy day of obligation, so we get to go to Mass. I know it's a holy day of obligation, but we get to go to Mass. It's such a privilege. And to be able to be just at Mass when all of heaven descends on that altar and we're all together and we're so close and we're alive in the body of Christ. It is beautiful. Folks, be happy. Be thrilled. I always said I wish I was born on All Saints Day. I'm born 8 days later on November 9th. But I used to tell my mom, why couldn't I be born on All Saints Day? That's why I celebrate the whole month of November, really. I do, because I love November 1st. I really feel like just going out and celebrating. I just love thinking about all the saints. Maybe you can share your favorite saint. You know, Padre Pio is, as you know, is one of my main go-to saints, Padre Pio, St. Padre Pio. That's why I'm wearing the hat today. At the front of it, Tony from Texas developed these hats for me and Marty, and I'm just so thrilled, Tony. I wear it all the time on pledge drives. So it has St. Michael on the front, and it has Pray, Hope, and Don't Worry on the back, Padre Pio. And boy, is it a conversation starter. So I do wear my golf hats or ball caps when I'm doing pledge drives, and I'm in the final day. I'm one of the hosts of Catholic Spirit Radio in Central Illinois, and they're going strong. It looks like they're going to hit full funding, so that's exciting. Praise be to God. And so if you're local, listening area comes to you. We are listener-supported Catholic radio, so please give generously. Today is the Real Presence Show on Take Two. We're talking about how the saints viewed the Eucharist. Please call in 833-288-3986. This is our Real Presence Show on the first Friday of the month. November 1st is All Saints Day. It's a holy day of obligation. Super excited to be with you. I love going live on all these feast days so that you can call in and share your thoughts about it. We're going to get to Candace in a moment, but there's room for you if you'd like to jump in and talk about the Most Holy Eucharist, talk about the saints and how they viewed the Eucharist, if it's a special quote that you would like to share with the world. John Paul II had many quotes on the Eucharist. So if you don't know them, just Google them real fast, say John Paul II on the Eucharist, and then you can share one of those with the world with us. I have a feeling you guys are getting you're getting going with your All Saints celebration. I just feel it. So can you stop celebrating All Saints Day for 1 second and call in and share with us your thoughts on this? 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. Please call in. Matt's waiting, willing, able to answer the call. Before we get to Candace, I wanted to share, this is really cool, St. Andrew's Prayer. Behold the Lamb of God, the St. Andrew's Prayer, 3-day devotional candle. Be ready for the St. Andrew Christmas Novena with the lovely devotional candle. It's made of odorless paraffin wax and designed to burn for 3 days. It's encased in a sturdy glass holder with a beautiful image on the front of an embellished detail of the Adoration of the Shepherds, originally created by Italian painter Lorenzo Lotto. On the back is a verse from Scripture that reads, "Behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world," John 1:29. I love that. Also on the back is the Christmas Anticipation Prayer, which is also known as the St. Andrew Christmas Novena, because it customarily begins on his feast day, November 30th, and is prayed 15 times a day until Christmas. By the way, I do that St. Andrew's Novena. It's a spiritual game changer. I love it. It's a lovely tradition for the whole family. The candle is 8 inches high, 2 inches deep, and there are many styles of votives from which you can select. Visit EWTNRC.com today to pick your favorites and receive a discount. Now, listen to this. This is the cool part. You receive a discount when you purchase 2 or 3 or more. Isn't that cool? So you can give them as gifts. I love that. And I love shopping. I start shopping at EWTNRC.com early in the year. And actually, well, let me just take that back. I pretty much check EWTNRC.com on a regular basis, on a daily basis. I always see what the new items are. I love how they feature the new items and the discounts and deals that you can receive when you purchase. Okay, so a Real Presence show today. I started with how the saints view the Eucharist. Blessed Carlo Acutis used to always say, the Eucharist is my highway to heaven. So I wanted to make sure you heard that several times because I love that great saint. I think he's fantastic. But let's get to Candace. And Candace, you're a first-time caller from Springfield, Missouri on Catholic Radio Network. Hi, Candace. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi. Go right ahead.
So I was just wanting to know, how would we explain to our family members that are, we have some that are atheists, some mm-hmm. that are Protestant, and we try to discuss the Eucharist with them, they're not actually comprehending what we're saying. So how mm-hmm. would we go about explaining that to them?
Okay, so you have some family members or extended family members that are atheists, so they don't believe in God at all. They don't believe in any higher power,
correct,
anything like. Wow, you're starting. Okay, that's going to be difficult, a little bit difficult. I mean, it's not impossible. I mean, they're interested. I will tell you that I have two friends. I mean, they're not close friends, Candace, but I have two friends that are atheists, and we have some really great discussions. Theological discussions, because they were actually raised. One was raised Catholic, actually, and the other one not. And they're interested still, and they'll say something like, "Well, if this was true, then you can have these discussions." So actually, open up dialogue and really explore things. But if you're going to try to fully grasp the Eucharist as we know it to be as Catholics, okay? The body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, truly present in the Eucharist. It's not a symbol. It's not a memory of something or a ritual of something. It is truly, he's truly present on the altar. He's truly there under the appearance of bread and wine. That would probably be the way I would start the conversation, and I would get their reaction. And once they say, what do you mean he's truly present? He's in bread, he's in wine. And you know, you have to try to elevate them and their mystical understanding of things and have them see things with their spiritual eyes. If they're going to just look at it, I guess, logically, practically, however you want to look at it, they're going to talk themselves out of it. Now, you could show them the Eucharistic miracles, like the exhibit, like over, I think it was 125 of the Eucharistic miracles. Some are not even that well known, but they're fascinating, that Carlo Acutis put together for the world. You could show them proof that, like, you could say, look, you know, this turned into a portion of the heart muscle, and it was the same blood type as Jesus, and it's, you know, it's alive. It's, you know, and it's, you could do that, but I can tell you that most people, they just don't relate to it. Most non-Catholics just look at it and go, okay, so, and then they just don't have anything to say after that. I know that because I've taken students and I was into Eucharistic miracles way back when Joan Carol Cruz put together the book Eucharistic Miracles, and I used to use it in religious education. And when I would have parents who weren't Catholic that would bring their Catholic kids to religious education class, they would sit back and they would take it in, but it didn't really have that big of an impact on them. What really does have an impact is your experience of the Eucharist, your journey with the Eucharist, your understanding as a Catholic. People care about that. They care about your own personal journey and what you understand to be true about the Eucharist. Now, you could easily go to the Catechism of the Catholic Church, type in CCC on the Eucharist, and you can get pretty well versed on what the Eucharist is and how to explain it to yourself and to others. And that could work. You could actually say to them, okay, can we read the Catechism of the Catholic Church on the Eucharist? There's several paragraphs on it, and I want you to understand it better. But most people respond well to your own experience of the Eucharist. That's a long answer to your short question. What do you say, Candace?
Actually, that helped. Thank you very much.
Do you do that? Do you tell your experience? So you're Catholic, right?
I am going through OCIA right now.
Okay, so OCIA is used to be called RCIA, yes. And so you're going through right now. May I ask your director there that's teaching the classes, what are you learning about the Eucharist? Are you going straight from the Catechism? Or are you pulling other sources or what?
She's doing straight from the Catechism and plus videos.
Okay. And how are your classes going? Do you like you like the other folks that are in attendance?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. So are you happy you made the decision to join, sign up for the class?
I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I said, are you happy you made the decision to sign up for the class?
Yes, wholeheartedly.
Okay. So are you, okay, well then here's what you want. Well, and it sounds like you have that fire in your belly and you're in that movement into Holy Mother Church. So you probably want to bring as many friends and family members with you. But again, so what you want to do is you absorb it all yourself. You bring it into your life yourself. When you come into the church fully, you practice it yourself. You invite people. You let them in on your journey and let them see it, change you from the inside out, transform you and your understanding. And I can tell you, most people want what you have. Most people want what others have when they see it radiating from them. What do you think?
Yeah, I agree with that. I've been trying to explain it. Like, my older sister, she's going to a Protestant church, and every time I discuss anything with her, I don't support it. Just shut down.
She shuts down.
So I'm trying to show her.
Yeah. Well, okay, so let me share something with you. She's not in a place to receive it, so that's why she's shutting down. It's not that she's totally rejecting it. She just doesn't, she probably doesn't understand it. She's not seeing it from that level. I know this from religious education. You got to elevate people's minds. You have to bring people up into the mystical sense of things. You know, that's why we are the body of Christ, the mystical body of Christ. Okay? We have to elevate our minds bigger than what we see right just in front of us. If we just concretely move step by step by step, you know, saying, okay, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior, and now I'm moving to the next step, and I'm moving to the next step, we're not exactly expanding and elevating like the saints did. The saints, they were here on this earth, Candace, but it was like they were floating 2 feet above the earth. Okay, because their minds, their the way they oriented themselves, I mean, so much so that God gave them spiritual gifts. So many of them did levitate. So many of them did rise up. St. Teresa of Avila during Mass, I mean, she would float to the ceiling. I mean, other saints did that as well. And Padre Pio, bilocating, he'd be bilocate, had many, many spiritual gifts. And so how did they do that? How did they receive that? Because they knew how to put themselves in that prayerful place, always with connection to God. Blessed Carlo Acutis, same thing, 15 years old. But so when we're talking to our friends who aren't really there yet with those spiritual eyes and they're not ready to be elevated, the only way, in my opinion, this is just my opinion now, the only way they can really start to grasp it is if they see it demonstrated in somebody they know and trust. Does that help?
Yes, thank you very much.
Oh, I'm so glad. We want to journey with you, Candace. So I put you in the prayer book. Would you keep us posted how your OCIA classes are going? And then obviously at the Easter Vigil, we're going to be celebrating with you.
Well, thank you very much. And yes, I will keep you posted.
Okay, thank you. God bless you. I love your name, by the way, Candace. My neighbor in Prescott, Arizona, her name was Candace, and she's the one who introduced me and Marty, and we became husband and wife. And Candace said she was prompted by the Holy Spirit. She was Catholic. And Candace said, I don't know why I'm saying this, but I think you should meet this realtor, Marty, and Martin, she called him. And she only met him one time, and then she introduced us, and we have been together ever since, for I think 18 years we've been together. So it's amazing. And I love the name Candace. Every time I say that name, I think of my neighbor who introduced us and changed my life forever. Okay, we have an open phone line. Candace just freed it. We're talking about the Eucharist. Now, if you have something, Candace is probably still listening. So if you have something to say about this, of how to really talk to your friends and your relatives who aren't Catholic, or maybe they're even atheist or agnostic, please call in. Okay, we do this together. This is a group effort. And if Jerry checks in, he'll share some things. So the number to dial is 833-288-EWTN. That's 833-288-3986. We do have room for you, and I really would love to hear from you, because I like full phone lines here, and I don't like to get started on the weekend until we have full phone lines. Plus, we're talking about the Eucharist. And when we talk about the Eucharist, I think it's very important that we have full phone lines so we can shout to the world how much we believe in the source and summit of our faith, the Most Holy Eucharist. So if you're with me on that, you'll call in. Okay, and this is all still a continuation of the Eucharistic revival that our shepherds put forth for all of us, to go deeper into the reality of the Eucharist, that Jesus is truly present. Please use that word. He's truly present. You don't want to just say to folks, I think, you don't want to say, Jesus is really present. Okay, because that kind of flies over their head. Jesus is truly present. Lisa, first-time caller, another first-time caller from West Virginia on the EWTN app. Hi, Lisa. Thanks for waiting and welcome.
Hello.
Hello. Go right ahead.
I was just wondering if you can change your patron saint, because I know when I went to RCI, it was just kind of like assigned this book by our name.
I'm sorry, when you went through class, they said what? I couldn't hear you. One more time?
They just kind of like assigned a patron saint by our name. So
Wait a minute. Time out. Oh, see, this is the kind of stuff that irritates me. I know every diocese does it a little differently. You're telling me the instructor assigned you a patron saint?
Yeah.
Was the instructor a priest or a nun?
It was a nun.
Oh, okay.
He was the instructor.
Okay, well then I'll give them credit for doing that, because they're religious. Okay, so that's okay. But really, it should be your, in my opinion, it should be. I'm going to be saying it. Okay, let me just, full disclaimer. This whole show is in my opinion. it really should be your patron saint, who you feel close to, or who is coming into your life, into view, maybe through a person or a prayer or a situation. I'll give you an example. I worked with a priest for many years, and he said he was literally chased around his whole ministry by Saint Therese of Lisieux, and she just followed him, and you know, then he became friends with her, and so I would I've got more to say about this. Can you, Lisa, can you hang on? You hear the music. I want to give you ample time to respond to this, but we're going to take a quick break, a little pause. We'll come back. Can you join the conversation, Take Two Family? I want to hear from you all about the Eucharist and what the saints on this All Saints Day had to say. So please call in, join us. We're talking the real presence today on this first Friday. Also, it's All Saints Day and how the saints viewed the Eucharist, and we'll share more quotes. I want to share from St. Thomas Aquinas, a beautiful, deep quote about the Eucharist. I'll share that later if we have some time. Before we get back to Lisa, first-time caller, I just wanted to do a shout-out. Congratulations going out to our great EWTN radio partner, St. Gabriel Communications, serving Garden City, Kansas, is celebrating 9 years with EWTN. Congratulations to everyone at KSGC from your friends here at EWTN. And then I want to get back to the phones. Lisa is holding. Lisa, so you're in class. You're the sister there assigned patron saints. She probably was introducing. Oh, you know what? Lisa just dropped. Lisa, if you can call back, because I'd love to hear your comments on this. If not, that's okay. I'll just make my statement. But Lisa just dropped. So if Lisa calls back, Matt, put her to on air, please. So it sounds like Lisa was in class. And the nun who was leading the class assigned patron saints. Now, I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt because I think what she did is she's trying to introduce all of the attendees and the students to the saints, which she should, because you want to make those connections, right? Because the saints are there and they're rooting for us. They want to intercede for us. They're our friends in heaven. They're our cheerleaders. They want us to get to heaven. Okay. That's a good intention by the nun that did that. However, I think it goes beyond that. That's maybe a great start. Maybe I'm not even sure if that's because in this day and age when we have access to the internet where you can search and really learn about the lives of the saints very easily, you don't even have to get a book to do it. You just go online and you can learn about all the saints. I think I've heard it said that the saints find us, and then I've heard it said that something will just move you towards that saint. So I'll give you here's an example for everyone. I was never close to Padre Pio. I'm going to be really honest with everybody. When I first saw Padre Pio, he kind of frightened me a bit. I just thought he looked a little gruff, and so I wasn't that close to him. And see, I'm going to hold my hands up to heaven and say, Padre, please, if you're listening, you know how much I love you now. So I wasn't that close to him, but I was in religious education, and all of the attendees in religious education would say to me all the time about Padre Pio, Padre Pio, Padre Pio. And then there were things that were happening, like a Padre Pio prayer card fell out of a Bible one time and onto the floor, and it was right side up, and I was staring at Padre Pio's face. And then another time somebody would tell me about a story about Padre Pio. And then one day I said, Padre, I want to get to know you. And then the rest is history. I think we have become really good friends, so much so that I traveled to San Giovanni Rotondo to see him laid out there in the church there. So it's a relationship, right? And you can't really force relationships. If I told you had to be friends with Charles, my producer, you may say, well, why do I have to be friends with Charles? I don't know Charles. Charles is your producer. He's not my producer. I don't know Charles. Why are you forcing this friendship? Now I can introduce you. I can say, hey, Lisa, meet Charles. He's a really nice guy. He's my producer. Okay, that's fine. You can introduce things. But I don't think you can really force relationships. And remember, these are living, breathing relationships that we have with the communion of saints, because we are part of it. We're the church militant. We're praying for the church suffering. Those are the souls in purgatory. And we are in the church triumphant are the ones that made it. So real quickly, the question was, I think Lisa said at the beginning, can I switch my patron saint? Yes. Yes, yes, and yes. Yes, you can. Absolutely. My name is Deborah Ann. So obviously Deborah from the Old Testament, and very strong, strong woman of the Bible. And then Ann, the mother of the Blessed Mother. So I consider Deborah, I consider Anne a patron saint. And then my confirmation name is Michelle after St. Michael the Archangel. Okay, it says St. Michael the Archangel, saint meaning they're in heaven. And then I have a strong, strong, strong devotion to Padre Pio, John Paul II, Blessed Carlo Acutis. I mean, I could go on and on. St. Charbel. I mean, and I feel they're my patron saints in ministry. I have seen it very much. I've also seen a lot of, I feel that Mother Angelica is very active in our ministry work, especially on Take Two. So I hope that answers the question. I don't know if Lisa called back. I don't think she did. So Lisa, if you're listening, Oh, she did. Lisa's back. Hey, Lisa, you're back. Real quickly, what are you? Did you hear my comments?
I did.
Okay. Yeah. So get a patron saint that you feel close to. And, you know, some of them, they're patron saints of certain things that, because they've lived difficult lives. And so if that draws you to that saint, that's a good thing. And so you start to develop that friendship, or the saint will find you. So yeah, choose your own patron saint. That would be my suggestion. Now, if any priests or bishops are listening and you want to disagree with me, call in. What do you say, Lisa?
Thank you very much. I mean, not that my saint is bad or anything. It's just I don't feel anything towards her.
Okay. And see, and that's okay. And they're not offended. So don't feel bad. They're not offended. They don't have that kind of like, oh my goodness, you know, Lisa didn't pick me, you know, and it's not like we're being picked on a volleyball team or a baseball team and you're sitting on the sidelines waiting to be picked by the captain. It's not like that. They're very happy. They are so filled with joy when even we want to connect, and bring us all together as the body of Christ. So be at peace, be excited. I think you got great work ahead of you to pick which. Do you have an idea of which saint you're drawn to?
Kind of. I think Saint Francis.
Saint Francis of Assisi?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I
good.
Think that's...
Good. Okay. Good.
But I'm not exactly sure.
Okay, so then what you want to do is you want to start bringing in, you know, learning more about his life, bringing it into prayer, you know, really saying to God, you know, I want to build this relationship with St. Francis. I'm feeling drawn to St. Francis. And then you should be, oftentimes confirmations will happen. So I'll give you an example. You'll be praying, talking about this with God, that you really want to get close to St. Francis. You start bringing St. Francis and asking him to pray for you, helping you with things. And then all of a sudden, it's like the strangest thing. Somebody will send you a card in the mail and inside of it will be a St. Francis prayer card. I mean, things like that happen all the time to people when the relationships are connecting. Sound good, Lisa?
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you. God bless you. Have a beautiful rest of your day. Thanks for calling, and thanks for calling back. I appreciate it. Okay, Lisa's going to free that phone line. You can fill it if you want to talk about the Eucharist or what the saints had to say about the Eucharist. All you have to do, you still have time. So let's see. You got plenty of time. We're going to get to Robert next. So don't go anywhere, Robert, in St. Augustine, Florida. See, it's St. Augustine, but Florida is St. Augustine, just to be clear. 833-288-3986. If you have something to say about the Eucharist, now is the time to do it, or about the saints on this beautiful All Saints Day. You can hear it in my voice that I'm super excited. I love this day. So let's go to Robert in St. Augustine, Florida, who's been waiting so patiently. Robert, what do you have to say about the Eucharist or the saints?
Hi, how are you? I was calling, I think someone had called in, referenced their talking about Protestant brothers and sisters and explaining them the Eucharist. I think mm-hmm. it's very difficult with the atheists, at least the Protestants understand the Bible. So I would start out with the manna in the Old Testament, mm-hmm. where it was sent, and basically with the manna, you know, the definition of manna is, what is it? So they didn't even understand it at the time, but it was miraculous how the manna, you know, appeared. And then, you know, you can go from the manna to the Bethlehem. Jesus was born in Bethlehem. The definition of Bethlehem is the house of bread.
The house of bread,
from
yes.
From there, mm-hmm. I would go into, you know, John 6, where he talked about, this is my, you know, my flesh is a true flesh I give you to eat, and my blood is a true, you know, wine, and went through there. And he had disciples other than the 12 who said, this is hard teaching. We don't understand it. He let them walk away. He didn't say, hey, come back. Let me explain. This is a metaphor. Mm-hmm. No, and then his own disciples, he looked at them and said, do you want to leave? And they said, no, we don't want to leave. Mm-hmm. So, you know, you went all through that, and then, you know, the Last Supper. And even with it, there's so much comparison with the New Testament and the Old, right? The lamb in the Old Testament, the blood of the lamb, no bone could be broken in that lamb, and they ate the flesh of that lamb. Now we have the new Lamb of God, okay? No bone was broken on the cross. We eat his flesh, his true flesh, true blood. And, you know, then even St. Paul talked about it. And then moving forward in the first century, we had St. Justin the Martyr, who wrote his apologist to the Roman emperor. He described our mass, exactly what we did, exactly the body and blood of Christ they did in the first century, okay? it's exactly what us Catholics do today. Mm-hmm. All right, and you move all the way up to Martin Luther King or Martin Luther, who was the started the Reformation. He was a Catholic priest. Even after the Reformation, he still believed in 90% of the theology of the Catholic Church.
Right.
He believed in the virginity, a perpetual virginity of the Blessed Mother. He believed in the real presence in a body and blood in our Eucharist. Okay. But then since then, you have now 2,200 different, Christian denominations, and everybody wants to take their own different beliefs and what have you. So that's what I would kind of explain. And there's also, we have Eucharistic miracles from Blessed Carlo Acutis, yes. But, sometimes they might, we don't know if we necessarily believe that. That could just be propaganda or whatever. I believe it. I know you believe it.
Mm-hmm.
But those are the things that I would say to a Protestant to get them to believe more in the true presence of the body and blood of Christ.
Okay, so you obviously could hear that I was super quiet, because I thought you did a fabulous job running down, going all the way back into scripture. Fabulous. But let me ask you this a question, Robert. Don't you think it's what you shared, and even the Eucharistic miracles, so all the proof of the Eucharist, a person has to be open to receiving that. Because the reason why I say that is I know people that you can give them a ton of proof, and they'll sit there and they'll still shake their head and say, well, I just don't believe. So what do you say to those people that are just so closed off?
Well, Jesus said we plant the seed, the mustard seed. You can only do, we put it out there. And mm-hmm. you let the Holy Spirit take it from there, okay?
Right.
And we're humans, we're mortal. Everything that we say to people, the Holy Spirit has to be involved, And once, if that Holy Spirit and God really wants that person, and that person's really seeking out some truth, I think the Holy Spirit will come in and convict them to say, let me look into this. Listen, we know all the stories about somebody, Scott Hahn, and all these great theologians and
the Lamb's Supper.
Come mm-hmm. back to the Catholic Church,
right?
Because they researched the history. Mm-hmm. I'm not talking about the religious. They went back into history and researched all this and said, this has got to be true. The faith and reason comes together, like Pope John Paul II said, faith and reason comes together. It's like the two wings on a bird that make you fly. So the Holy Spirit has to be involved, and if the Holy Spirit's involved, then it's going to work. And so that's kind of the way I look at it. You put it out there, you plant that seed, and hopefully God does the rest of it.
So, Robert, I got a question for you. Are you in ministry, or are you a deacon or a priest? I'm just curious.
No, I'm not. I'm just a lay person. I've always been kind of like an apologist, because there were times at work I had other very good people, mm-hmm. but they were born-again Baptist, born-again this, and it constantly attacked my Catholic faith.
Mm-hmm. So
and
you
I
had
was
to
like,
learn.
My
sure.
gosh, I was never raised that way as a Catholic, to look at a Baptist or a Protestant and say, you're going to hell. I was never raised that. I was just like, we're all people of faith, And mm-hmm. even to this day, I look at it, all the different Christian denominations, not all of them, but a lot of them. I think they're all different little highways to get to heaven. I'm not going to sit there and say a Protestant brother of mine is not going to make it to heaven. Who am I to judge him? He might be taking a different route than I am as a Catholic, And I go back even in Mark, when all his disciples, and they came to Jesus, said, there's a guy out there, and he's casting out demons and doing all these great things in your name. Should we tell him to stop? He said, no. This was just a reading in one of our Sundays, maybe about
a month
ago.
Yeah, if they're not against us,
no.
They're for us. I know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But Robert, all things come through Jesus, right? So we know that from Scripture as well, because you cited Scripture quite well. So we want to be very clear about that, though, because I do think there's been some floating information out there on podcasts that you can, find these really strange ways to get into the back door of heaven. And it really must, as we know through Scripture, right, come through Jesus. So that's really, really important, in my opinion. What do you say to that?
I do. Mm-hmm. I agree with you 100%. And I'm driving, and I just actually pulled in. I was just getting ready to go to adoration myself.
Cool.
And I felt when I heard that, and I just want to leave you this as a Catholic. Last Sunday, I went to get the Eucharist, and I got a piece of the consecrated host. And I've been trying to dedicate myself more to the Blessed Mother. And I realized when I was taking that host that something dawned on me that, you know, Jesus' DNA is Mary's DNA. And Mary's DNA is, you know, he's man. He came from Mary, even, you know. And I was like, you know, I'm actually receiving a part of Mary in this host because part of her is with Jesus. It's like my mother's DNA is in me. Right, and so on. So her DNA is in Jesus, and if I'm accepting Jesus in that host, I'm also accepting a piece of Mary too.
Okay, you know, that's very
deep. You
know,
her Immaculate Heart, His Sacred Heart. In this host, and you know, I felt very comfortable about that, to be honest with you, and because I know she will do nothing but to lead us closer to her goals, lead us closer to.
Absolutely. So a couple things before you go to see Jesus in adoration, okay? First of all, tell him that the whole Take Two family loves him and say hello to Jesus in the chapel, please, from us, because we're right in the middle of the show. But Robert, real quickly, that was very powerful, very deep, what you just shared about the connection of Jesus and his mother and how our spiritual mother, Mary, will always lead us to her son. So that you made that connection. That's an aha spiritual moment. Beautiful. I thought you did a fabulous job taking us through scripture. That was wonderful. And so you had to learn this to be able to be with your coworkers, like you said. Two things I just wanted to add if you're going to use that with other people. Mother Miriam, I have to give credit where credit is due. Mother Miriam, she's on Catholic radio. She did a fabulous job one time when I was on Pledge Drive with Jerry Usher, and she was talking about how Jesus commanded the bread to obey, and it did. Okay, so God commanded the bread to obey, and it did. And so it was a fascinating way she said it, and I was like, wow, that is so amazing, Mother, how you said it like that. He commanded the bread to obey, and the bread did. Okay, so that's powerful. Second thing is I learned this from a wonderful priest who used to say to me all the time that, you know, you have to remember Jesus wanted to be with us so intimately. And what is one of the most intimate things we do on a regular basis? We eat. We take food, fuel in so we can live. And I was like, wow, Father, that was powerful. So I just wanted to add that to your list of things when you share with your non-Catholic friends. But Robert, God bless you. Thank you so much for being really strong in the faith. And thank you so much for taking time on this All Saints Day to go visit our Lord in the Most Holy Eucharist, the Blessed Sacrament. Wow. Powerful call, Robert. Thank you. Okay, I'm going to let Robert go there. If you want to jump in, Robert's going to free that phone lines because he's got to get into the chapel, the Adoration Chapel. 833-288-3986. Don't you guys love that? God commanded the bread to obey, and the bread did. I mean, that's just when you think about that. This is what I'm talking about: using your spiritual eyes and going deeper with the Lord. Okay, we're getting a lot of comments coming in on social media, all sorts of things, and I'm going to just cover it one by one. So let me go down the list. We've got. Catherine in South Carolina called in and said, when I was a kid, my priest was always talking about his friend. And that's what Catherine's priest was saying. But then when he was canonized, it all clicked. He had been Padre Pio's secretary. So Padre Pio's assistant, can you believe, isn't that cool? I love that. I have heard that before where people will say things like, oh, this person, there's such a holy person. And then years later, this person is canonized. And you're like, wow, you worked with that person. I'll give you an example. Our retired bishop here in Diocese of Phoenix, Bishop Olmsted, he worked for John Paul II for 10 years. And John Paul II is now Pope St. John Paul II. And how cool is that? He was working with a saint for 10 years, writing things and doing things. Amazing. There's other books that... that folks are sending in, but I wanted to turn our attention now to Mr. Jerry Usher, the co-host of Take Two with Jerry and Debbie, who's in seminary classes right now, right outside of Boston, Massachusetts. Hello, Jerry. Are you with us? Okay, is Jerry with us? Not yet? Okay. Charles is going to tell me it was showing that he was ready, but I guess not yet. Okay, so let me share. But Jerry is with us. He's just making sure we can hear him properly. But let me get to a couple things. So there's books out there on the Eucharist, Meditations on the Eucharist. Make sure when you get some of these books that you are making sure that you are certain that the author is, you know, a priest, a bishop, religious that you trust, okay, when you're getting these meditations on the Eucharist. I know Matthew Kelly did a fabulous book on the Eucharist. Others have jumped in to really help move a person along in a deeper way. So please make sure you have trusted sources. Now, Robert mentioned Dr. Scott Hahn, The Lamb's Supper, another great, great book, a game-changing book. So please, now we'll go to Jerry Usher. We just were making sure you were connected. Hello, Jerry.
How y'all doing?
We're talking about the Eucharist. How do you think we're doing? We love it.
I know.
How did Mother Miriam say it that time in Pledge Drive when she said that God commanded the bread to obey and it did? Remember? She said...
Yeah, I do recall that now. Yeah, absolutely. What a great gift that we have, yeah, in the Eucharist. So I just want to say hello to all of the Take Two family. I just got out of a beautiful, solemn solemnity mass here at Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary in Weston, Massachusetts, just outside of Boston. So, yeah, we had a very beautiful, solemn Mass today, and I am so excited, Debbie, because this semester is going to wind down pretty soon. We'll have the Christmas break, and then I'll be back on the show with you as often as I can after the start of the first of the year.
We can't wait. We had Tina from Calgary, Canada, saying, I miss Jerry. I said, yeah. I know, Tina. We all miss Jerry. So, yes, we would definitely miss you. But we've had some great topics, great discussions, Jerry. Charles is doing such a wonderful job. Matt and Michael as well. And Ace jumps in from time to time. We had Tom Price answering phones yesterday. But, yeah, we do miss you. Okay, so I've been saying to the Take Two family, you're doing great in your classes. Are you?
I am, yeah. We've had three midterms so far, and with the grace and help of God and the mercy of our instructors, I've gotten a couple A's and I think a B, so I'm doing okay on those. And every other aspect of formation, spiritual direction, formation direction, the food is great, the camaraderie, the fraternity is great here. And I just want to, again, encourage anyone if you're in your 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, even your 70s, and you are thinking, maybe feeling a little tug on your heart to think about the priesthood, and all of a sudden you say, no, that can't possibly be because I'm too old. Well, the motto here at Pope St. John the 23rd National Seminary is never too late. So the website, you can check it out, send an email, make a phone call. Maybe God has that priestly vocation plan for you after all. The website is PSJS for Pope St. John Seminary, psjs.edu.
So a lot of our Take Two family was wondering, do you ever get to listen to the show, or are you so busy with classes and the fellow seminarians?
Yeah, I'm busy a lot. We usually have lunch around 12:30, so I listen in on some of the first part of the show occasionally, and then if we have a day off or something and I'm out driving around, I've got Sirius XM satellite radio in the car, so I do get to tune in, and it sounds like it's going fantastic.
Mm. Yeah, it's funny. Folks are taking pictures on Sirius XM 130 of the show Take Two, coming up on their dashboard. So that's really cool. I don't have an opportunity to do that because I'm doing the show. So it's kind of nice when they send in the pictures. Anything else you want to share with us? Some things like we need to know about. Like, what is there anything new you're learning in seminary? Can we learn it too?
Well, I'm kind of, it's a lot of it's refresher because I do have my degree in philosophy and theology and spent 2 years in the seminary, major seminary before, but it's good to review. And of course, learning a lot of new stuff. I do want to mention that our good friend, Debbie, you know him well. I know him well. Bishop David Toops of the Diocese of Beaumont, Texas. He was here. He has one of his seminarians here, and he conferred the right of candidacy upon us, the first year guys, on Wednesday. What that is, it's kind of like a sort of an initial, very serious serious step, basically saying, you know, you're dating the church and nobody else at this point. And so they call it the rite of candidacy. So we received that on Wednesday evening from Bishop David Toops, and it was a glorious celebration. So just happy to be here and very excited to move forward.
Well, I'll let you finish this broadcast. I just wanted to say to Shannon, please forgive me. I couldn't get to you today. You can call back on Monday on our Whom or What Are You Praying For show if you wanted to share anything about the Eucharist, because that ties in nicely for praying for folks. So, Jerry, with that, thank you to the show team, Matt and Michael and Charles. I'll leave it to you to take us into the weekend.
All right. Well, thank you very much, Debbie. Thank you to Take Two family. Again, I'm looking forward to being back on the show with you as often as I possibly can be. After the first of the year, I just want to wish you all a beautiful and blessed day and a beautiful and blessed weekend. And this is All Saints Day, so we look to our older brothers and sisters for their prayers, their intercession, their help from heaven. May you have a beautiful and blessed day, and we will talk to you again very soon.